Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn with me, please, to Colossians chapter 3. And starting in verse 1, the Word of God says, "If ye then, being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." If you are risen with Christ, let's look at this for a minute. If you are risen with Christ, interesting word there, if. Most people don't look at the words like if. But that's an interesting word, if. It's a, and it's a conditional conjunction. And as such, it expresses a first-class condition which assumes it's true, but here, it is separate from all experience. So if you are risen with Christ, if, first-class condition, it is true. If in you are risen with Christ, but you do not have this experience in your life of being seated above in heavenly places, of resurrection life in your life, if you don't know what it means to have gone through the cross and not just to the cross, if you don't experience the life of God, although in position you have been risen with Christ, but your experience has never been there, and seek those things which are above. What do I do if I don't know what it is to have resurrection life? What do I do if I don't know what it is to have the life of the cross? What do I do if I don't know that the tomb is in fact empty? I seek after those things which are above. If you don't know these things, seek those things which are above. Above, anyo, is talking about the treasure that is in heaven. Seek the treasure that is in heaven. You see, it is important for me, it is in fact imperative for me, to know what it means to have a resurrection life. If in 1 John 4:17, if I am to have the experience of being as He is in this world, then I must have the experience of what it means to have resurrection life. Because if I don't have resurrection life, then I am not as He is in this world. If I don't have resurrection life, then the best that I can do is the pre-crucifixion Christ in my experience. But God said that we are conformed to His image, and we are called to be conformed to His image. How am I to be conformed to the image of God when God is risen and on the throne and living in resurrection? Did you know that it is for us to have resurrection life? That's what the cross is all about. It is for us to have resurrection life. It is not for us just to stay in our biological life, in our self life. It is not just for us to stay in an earthly life. But we are seated above in heavenly places. How is it that we do not experience the life of that, if this is the truth of the matter for us as believers? But if it is not true for you, then seek those things that are above. Seek your treasure that is above. You see, what happens to a lot of believers is, though they say they are believers, they do not seek the treasures that are above. Right? In Matthew 16:19, the Word of God says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth." That means that the believer is very capable of laying for themselves treasures upon the earth. This is what the Laodicean age is all about. Laying up for themselves treasures upon the earth. Saying, oh, I must have, and there's nothing wrong with these things if they are in their proper place, but saying, I must have the good job. I must have the fancy education. I must have the car and the house. And I must have the picket fence. you know what? Your picket fence is fine if it's given to you in good order from God. But if your picket fence takes the place of God, then your picket fence is sin. You don't need the picket fence. Why? Your picket fence is going to fall apart, and then you're going to need to paint it and rebuild it and the whole nine yards. And you know what? It's going to keep doing that. Entropy is going to take over your picket fence. But not in heaven. Entropy does not take over in heaven. This is why Mary had the good portion. Because she was storing herself for herself the things that are above. Moth and rust do corrupt here, and thieves break in and they steal. But then in verse 20 of Matthew 6, the Word of God says, "But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is," get this, "there will be your heart." Where your treasure is, there will be your heart. Do you see why I say go to Bible college? Where your treasure is, there will be your heart. What is it to me where my heart is? Because in Proverbs 23 and verse 7 in the A part of the verse, as I think in my heart, that's who I am. So it's very important to me what is in my heart, because that's who I am. You ever meet somebody who will present themselves one way, but in fact they are someone different in their own heart? You can't trust who people present themselves, can you? But who it is that they are in their heart, that's who they are. So seek those things that are above. Seek God's treasures in heaven, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Ever wonder if that hurts? Where Christ sits on the right hand of God, endexia tau theo kathmenos in the Greek. Christ is up there. It's not actually talking about sitting at all. It's talking about simply being positioned. Where Christ is up there at God's right hand. What is the right hand speaking of? Right hand, when Christ is in the right hand of God, is talking about He is in the fullness of the power and authority and all of who God is, Christ has taken on. That's what the right hand talks about. And this is what we are seeking. This is where our treasure is. This is whom we are in. In all that God is, we are in that. And the amazing thing is He is in us. So seek these things because they are in fact the reality. It's kind of funny, the people who seek the things on the earth, they're a little bit crazy. They're a little bit psychotic because they think somehow this will fulfill or satisfy, somehow this is going to have meaning when it has no meaning at all. The earth is not eternal. The earth was created and it will be done away with someday. The earth is not eternal. But God's Word and the treasures that are above are eternal. So I seek the eternal treasures. I seek eternity in my own heart. I seek to have all that God is in that uncreated life of Christ to live in me. And this is the life that I live. And this is the life I was created to live. I was not created to live simply a biological life. I was created to live in the fullness of life. That's what Christ came to give us, is it not? To give us the fullness of life, life and more abundantly. And in the original, it's talking about super abundant life. How many believers have super abundant life? Don't raise your hands, but ask yourself, do you have super abundant life? If you cannot say that you do, then purpose in your heart in all things to seek the treasures that are above. Seek the things that are above. The treasure is God's life in you. And then when you go home to be with the Lord, it is translated as gold, silver, and precious stones. But seek God's life in you. Look for God in your lives. Look for God in your details. Look for God in your trials. Look for God in your lives. Don't you realize that nothing has taken place that God did not allow? Don't you think there was a reason why He allowed it? Like the fall did not take place without God's permissive will. Oh, it wasn't God's perfect will that anyone should sin. But really, in a manner of speaking, is there even a difference? When God can control all things? Theologically, certainly there's a difference. But in a practical sense, is there really a difference? His permissive and His perfect will? Well, yes and no. Yes, there's a difference in its impact on me. But there is no difference in its impact on God's faithfulness. There is no difference in the impact that God has toward the heart that God has toward the believer. There is no difference. Certainly it was not God's will that David fail with Bathsheba. But Solomon was Bathsheba's son. Was there a difference? In the effect that it had on David, there was a huge difference. But in the eternal plan, God knows the beginning from the end. And He knows what He needs to do, and He knows what path I'm going to take, and He knows exactly where I'm heading. And He knows how to get me where He wants me. Jonah found that out in a fish. Never counted on the fish being his ride to his call. But the fish took him right into the call. God will take me where He wants me. Love not the world, 1 John 2:15. Neither the things of the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. How many believers love the world because they don't know the love of God? Show me a believer who loves the world and the things of the world and the worldly ways and looks for worldly satisfactions, and I'll show you a believer who does not know the love of God. In James 4:4, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. But notice what He calls them. Adulterers and adulteresses. Isn't this what sometimes we do in a manner of speaking? We prostitute ourselves to find satisfaction in the world. When we in fact belong to another, we are the betrothed of the Savior, but we prostitute ourselves to find a certain fleshly satisfaction, a certain fulfillment or a contentment or a portion. Try to find my identity in the world. Can't find it there. But they trade away their good portion for something the world cannot give them. But they look for it anyway. No. Look for your treasure in heaven. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Affection, phroneti, is the present active imperative. Present tense means that it's a continuous action. Active voice means that you produce the action. Imperative mood means it's a dogmatic command from God. God is saying, do this. This is what I'm telling you. You must do it. Set your affection on things above. And the word of that word affection means to think, to have a mindset, to be minded. The activity represented by this word involves the will, the affections, and the conscience. Keep thinking about. That's what it's saying. Keep thinking about the things above. Like, how many times do we get something that comes into our lives and it preoccupies our thoughts and it steals from us? And we wonder, what's the resolution going to be? Maybe there's somebody with an illness. And we get very anxious about this person's illness. and we wonder to ourselves, what's the resolution going to be? Will God heal them? Will He not heal them? Maybe somebody has young children or teenagers in their family, and their teenagers are not making the decisions that they would like them to make. Maybe they are going down a bad road. And you wonder, what's the resolution going to be? Is God going to be faithful? Is my child going to make the right decisions? Are they going to get right with God? Are they even saved? It's very tempting to think this way. But God says, don't do that. Don't think that way. They will make the decisions that they will make. But you have to stand before God. You don't stand before God on behalf of your children except in prayer, perhaps. You will not stand before Him on their behalf at the Bema seat. You cannot stand before Him responsible for their decisions. You can't do that. That's a false burden. You can't do that. Oh, you love them, you minister to them, you show them Christ, you try to persuade and encourage, but you can't take on the false burdens. What if they never get right? Is your life over? Is God off of the throne because Junior decided to make bad decisions? Is your life over because your kid gets rebellious? Is your life over because a child or a spouse or a parent gets sick? Is your life over? Is God removed now? Is He no longer in control? Think on the things above. It takes a little bit of discipline sometimes because those things can be scary. But think on the things above. You can't do it without a healthy intake and diet of the Word of God. But think on the things above. Don't let yourself become scared or worried about the things of the earth. Moth and rust destroy here. Like my thinking and my life can be corrupted because I would not think on the things above. My joy can be stolen from me because I would not think on the things above. My pleasure in God can be removed because I would not think on the things above. Satan always attacks what you think about. So think on things above, not on things of the earth. Earth, geist, the earthly things pertaining to this life. And Paul does not mean that we should never think upon the things on the earth that take place here. That's not what he's saying. He said they should not be our aim or our goal or our master. They should not be an idol to us. They are not the bulk of my thoughts. And they are not the center of my focus. The Word of God, the things of God, the promises of God, the faithfulness of God, the character of God, the mercy of God, the gentleness and loving kindness of God. Those are my focus. For you are dead. Apathente gar. It's a definite event. Aorist active indicative. For you died. Aorist tense means it's a once. It happened once in the past and it has once and for all results. The time of the past when it happened is irrelevant. It's not a known thing to you. In other words, it doesn't matter when it happened. It happened once in the past and it has present continuous results. Active voice. You did the dying. You did the dying. Indicative mood. This is a dogmatic reality. You have died. You are dead. You're dead. You were crucified with Christ. You died with Him. It's not that you have to die. You're already dead. I don't die to myself. I have been past tense crucified with Christ. What do? I reckon myself dead. I consider it to be a fact. I am dead. How much worrying does a dead man do? How scared is a dead man? How anxious or insecure is a dead man? Can you see a dead guy being insecure? Oh, my skin doesn't look so good. I'm getting wrinkles. And I'm losing my hair. And I smell bad. No, you're dead. You're dead. Show me a dead guy who gets offended. You've been offended? You're not dead yet. Or you don't think you are. Why does a person get offended? Because they're living in death. I'm either dead or I'm living in death. And if I'm dead, then I'm living in the life of God. But I'm either dead or I'm living in death. Or I have the life of God. Dead people do not get offended. Those people who live in death get offended all the time. Did you know that the vast majority of people's problems can be solved by the cross? Did you know that the vast majority of people's problems can simply be solved by a humility response in faith toward God's Word? Did you know that whatever it is that's plaguing you can be taken away right now if you simply believe? Didn't Jesus say that you would do greater things than these? Why is it that people aren't raised from the dead very much? Number of reasons, but I believe that more people would be raised from the dead if more people believed. I mean, it's kind of a sovereign thing, but didn't Jesus say greater things than these we would do? Do you believe it? When God speaks to you in the Word of God, and He encourages you about His faithfulness, do you believe Him? When He tells you that He loves you with an everlasting love, do you believe Him? When He says that your sins will not be counted to you, do you believe Him? When He says that you are forgiven, do you believe Him? When He says that if you fail 7 times in a day, you get up again, do you believe Him? Do you believe God? Isn't that really the issue of our lives? Do we believe God? For you are dead. And your life, Zoe life, not bios life, Zoe life, the life of God in you is hid. Tekruptai. Perfect passive indicative. Continuous action now. You did not do the hiding. Your life was hid when you die. Indicative mood. Dogmatic reality. It's hidden or concealed. You died. And God took your life and He hid it. And He gave you His life and He hid your life in Him. And because your life is now His life, it is in Him. You see, this is the beautiful reciprocity of God. There is a reciprocity to God. For example, forgive and you will be forgiven. There's a reciprocity to God. If my life is gone and I reckon myself dead indeed unto self, He gives me His life and hides me in Him in that life. There's a reciprocity to God. Hid with, soon locked together with. My life of God in me is locked together with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, our Zoe life, not our bios life, our Zoe, the life of God in us, shall appear. And that's the aorist passive subjunctive. Subjunctive is a conditional clause. So He appears and it has a once and for all action in my life. He is manifested in my life, is what he's saying. When Christ is manifested in my life because of a once and for all action, and I receive this manifestation, if this happens, then ye shall appear with him in glory. Then, told, at that time, then at that time, when that happens, that he is, his life is manifested in you, you will appear. That's a future passive indicative. That means you will receive the action of being manifested with him. In other words, he is manifested in you, and then you are manifested in glory with God. This is that perfect reciprocity where the life of God is in me, and I have the life of God pouring out back to God. This is that perfect reciprocity where God enjoys his communion with the believer. This is that perfect reciprocity where God pours himself to me and I pour God back to him. There's a reciprocity in it. This is why Jesus said, whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. This is the reciprocity it's talking about. Where Christ is manifested in me and I am manifested in Christ. And for me to live is not self. For me to live is not self-orientation. It's not the things of the world. It's not the lust of the flesh. It's not pride. It's not how am I looking to people today. It's none of those things. It's not insecurity. It's not trying to impress. It's simply a life of God in the believer being lifted back up to God and being poured out to other people. This is living. There's a reciprocity there. God is manifested in me and I am manifested in him. This is where God speaks to in Exodus 33:11, where God speaks to Moses as a man speaks to his friend. This is where Moses can plead with God for Israel. Don't destroy them, God. If you destroy them, destroy me with them. And God responds. This is where Moses can deal with God. God, if there are 40 righteous, will you spare them? If there are 30, if there are 10, will you spare them? The only problem was Abraham stopped dealing with God. He presumed that there would be 10, I imagine. I don't know. This is where God's hand is moved by the desire of the believer. Command ye me the works of my hand. This is where I ask whatever I will, and it will be done for me because I am the branch that is in the vine in John 15. And when I have the life of God flowing like this, I can ask whatever I will and it will be done. I appear with him in glory. God purchased us for a reason. There was something he desired that he didn't have before. And so he purchased us. What is it that God desired? He desired my heart. That's what he desired. He did not want me to give my life and my heart to the world. He did not want me to give my heart and my life to the cares of the world. He did not want me to give my life and my heart to the details of life, to insecurities and fears, to frustrations. For that matter, he did not want me to give them to other people. He wanted me to give them to him. And so he purchased me with a price. Then when they are his, he can give them as he chooses. But I have to give them to him. This is why I say to young people, never marry someone who loves you more than God. Never marry someone who loves themselves more than you. Why? Because if their heart is not God's, it won't be yours either. Give your heart to Him. Meditate. Think about the things above, not on the things of the earth. The things of the earth don't refresh you, and they don't give you life. But the things above give you the newness of life and the fullness of who God is in your life. Amen.